Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 24th, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We're getting ready for July Good Beer Month. We've got some special guests today, including Eric and Chris from Dirk the Norseman and Greenpoint Beer and Ale, one of the newer beer halls and breweries in New York City. And we'll be joined by the team from Cone Island on Tap, which is one of the signature events of July Good Beer Month. So here we are, thanks to our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. And you can tweet us at beer_sessions if you want to keep up with what Maggie's tweeting throughout the show. So here we are. We got Chris Prout, the head brewer from Dirk the Norseman, Greenpoint Beer and Ale, and Eric Olson. He's also a brewer and a manager too, right?
Yes, sir.
So Eric, I first met you. You guys were working at Browery Lane, which is a bottle shop, beer bar in Greenpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And how long were you working there?
Well, I'm still working there, actually. I'm still managing from afar. We've been there for a little over 5 years, so I've been there since day one.
So when did you guys decide to open a brewery? And how long have you been working on that? You got Chris here.
Hey.
You're a brewer.
We were talking about the idea probably 2.5-3 years ago. Ed Raven, obviously, he owns, but Ed Raven owns Browery Lane Beer Store. We talked about the next step in a business venture, and that was a brew pub. And we have a roughly 6,000 square foot space in South Greenpoint, North Williamsburg, right on North 15th Street, that seats about 240 people, with about 40 people outside. Five barrel brewing system in the back, lots of great food, great community atmosphere.
Yeah. Great. So what was the process? You guys were based in Brooklyn, you know, you had Browery Lane, but how long did it take you to find that location and open it? Just give us some of the backstory on your new place.
Well, I think Ed started looking at a space on Gem Street, which is pretty close by, not too far from the store anyway. He was offered or found a vacant spot around the block from where we are, close to a fish smoker called Acme Smoked Fish. And I guess the landlord had another space became available around the block, sort of facing the Bushwick Inlet on the water, which was previously a place called Polyco, which was a plastic bag manufacturer. They closed down and... the space looked great. We had, you know, great sunlight, southern facing, sort of overlooks the water in a way. And that was probably 2 years ago, I think, we took over the space.
2 years this June.
Yeah. So
it was quite
cheers.
The build-out.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
no, it was a lot of work.
And you're making beer, too. So yeah. What beer are we drinking right now?
You have a kettle sour wheat beer with lemongrass. So it's something that's sort of New York homebrew communities inspired. We do a lot of experimentation with our beers, and this is one of them that is sort of, I guess, is attributed to that experimentation. So kettle sour is a technique I learned pretty recently from Chris Kuzme and Mary Azit, and we've sort of taken it and added a different component with the lemongrass and the wheat.
So what do? You sour the mash, or?
We sour the wort in the kettle with the grain that we throw in there. We keep it about 110 degrees, and the lactobacillus that's naturally on the grain sours the wort over a period of 48 to 72 hours. And then we boil it and kill the lacto. And then
it's nice. It tastes like grass.
Yeah.
It's very yellow. It's grassy.
It's meant to be a refreshing summer beer. Yeah.
Cheers, man. Yeah. So the space itself, it's I don't understand, why is it called Dirk the Norseman and Greenpoint Beer and Ale? Is it like two things in one? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, Dirk the Norseman was the first settler of Greenpoint after the Native Americans were there. But he set up a farm in Greenpoint and would commute from Manhattan by boat. He was a shipwright over to Greenpoint. And he eventually built a house there and settled in what is very close to where we are right now at our location at North 15th Street. So he was the original Scandinavian settler in Greenpoint. And that's why it's named Dirk the Norseman. Greenpoint Beer and Ale is housed in Dirk the Norseman. Dirk the Norseman is the bar restaurant side. Greenpoint Beer and Ale is the brewery side. And we're in the back there.
Yeah. So you're making beer.
Making beer.
All right. So, Eric, what's it like? So I go over to... Where is it located again in Greenpoint?
We're on 7 North 15th Street. So Franklin, where Franklin becomes Kent, sort of on that borderline.
So I go over there, what am I going to find?
Right now, in that area of the neighborhood, there's not a lot. It's changing pretty quickly. There's a lot of industry there. I think we're right next to some welders and a plumbing supply place, but a new restaurant opened right around the corner in the last 6 months, and I think we're sort of on that cusp of both neighborhoods, and they're sort of merging. We're hoping that we're sort of on that point where Greenpoint and Williamsburg come together.
Yeah. When I walk into to Dirk the North, like, what am I going to find there? Is there food? Is it a bar?
Mm-hmm. We have a large central bar. It's about seats maybe 30. The total capacity for the place is about 240, 250. We have a full kitchen. We do a lot of barbecued meats, some heavier stuff, braised meats, German-inspired fare, maybe Eastern European-inspired fare. It's a lot of old wood, a lot of steel. It has sort of an industrial feel to it, a lot of dark wood. Comfortable, worn in, nice sort of social, open atmosphere.
And what are some of the foods that I should get?
There's
like
a
particular dishes.
Sure. Braised pig knuckle has been really, really popular. We do...
That's a good dish. You know, I've been... Some farmer friends, like Mike from Flying Pigs Farm, he's been giving me a lot of pig knuckles and trotters lately. And, you just slow cook them overnight or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the more popular dishes. Chicken schnitzel, people love that because it's huge. It's, you know, bigger than the plate it's served on. But, yeah, if you're, you know, good drinking food, I would say. The fries are amazing. We cut them there and, I don't know.
The chicken, it looks like a frisbee, the chicken.
Yeah, it's huge.
It is. It's good food to have with a beer.
All right. Well, you guys are some of the mellowest guys I've met in a while, but welcome to the show. I've heard a lot of buzz about it when it first opened. I haven't been over there yet. I've known Ed for a few years. I remember when Ed Raven was one of the first sales guys for Brooklyn Brewery's Craft Brewers Guild. Back in 1992, he was the first guy that ever brought me really good craft beer. That's how I started learning about it. Hmm. I worked in a restaurant, and he started bringing me samples, everything from Chimay to Schneider Aventinus to some American beers like Rogue. And back then, those are the first beers I was ever drinking because I didn't drink crappy beer.
Yeah.
I only started drinking beer, good beer.
Yeah, so. Ed's been in the craft beer business for a while. He started at Brooklyn Brewery, and he's now importing beers from Germany. Gaffel, Jaeger, and Regula, and he's opened my eyes to the world of beer. Certainly, I mean, that's how through the store getting a job at Brewery Lane Beer Store is how I've really learned a lot about beer and styles of beer and making beer and sort of had that community there where people would grow and talk about beer and just really geek out about it. Yeah.
So how did you start brewing? What was did you have a job or just a home brewer?
You know, I got a job at the beer store about 5 years ago when it opened up along with Eric. And I just started learning as much as I could, started home brewing. Eric helped me out with my first batch of beer and wanted to do it more. I lived on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I asked Scott Meyer at the Outer Banks Brewing Station if he would have me there and I could apprentice. And he accepted me, and I'm grateful for it. But I learned a lot from him over a couple of months. And he taught me a lot about brewing on a professional scale. And I took that knowledge and translated it into this five-barrel brew pub system that we have.
So what are some things that you had to do when you were an apprentice in the Outer Banks?
The Outer Banks is a pretty laid-back atmosphere, I would say. And it was February. It's a seasonal town. It's a tourist economy there. So they're on their off season. They're doing a lot of things like taking apart their heat exchanger and cleaning it, or a lot of odds and ends that need to be done during that time. So it is a good time to work with somebody in a brewery, because typically breweries are pretty busy environment. I was fortunate enough to be in that environment where I could just learn a lot and ask a lot of questions and drink a lot of good beer that Scott made and pick his brain about what he was doing.
So, over the off season, would he make test batches and try out brewing?
No, you know what he would do? He would lager. He would have like a Maibach lagering, or he would have something sitting in the tanks that he was holding on to that was special. Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
What's the scene like down there, Outer Banks? Are there other breweries?
It's like I said, it's seasonal. I did live there for about eight to 9 years. There aren't that many breweries. There's Weeping Radish Brew Pub, which has been around for quite a while. His idea was a farm to table brew pub setting, and he's still doing it, but it hasn't really taken hold like I think it should have. Other than that, there's not much
seasonal,
going on.
Like it's tough because it's only seasonal.
It is, yeah. It is a, it's a Labor Day to Memorial Day or type of economy. So, but it is nice to hibernate in the wintertime and then work hard in the summertime. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I like this beer. What's the name of this beer again?
This is When Life Hands You. It's a lemonade-inspired beer.
It's yellow.
Yeah.
It's yellow, kind of
grassy. It's got lemongrass in it.
It's tart. Not really sour, but it's tart.
It's yeah, like I said, it's a summer beer.
I'll take 5%. Another one if you don't mind.
All right, yeah.
So, Eric, do you guys have this on tap at Dirk the Norseman right now?
Yeah, we're pouring that one right now. We just did a second batch of it, so that'll be on the way. And then we have another... we've been doing quite a few kettle sours lately, so we have a sour cream ale coming behind that, which is what you'd think it would be, not a beer with sour cream in it, but a cream ale brewed.
Yeah.
Because
you guys, you're doing like a small, a five-barrel system, so yep. you feel like you can experiment. Like, how many different batches of beer are you making in the course of a month, roughly?
Well, we brew 20 barrels a week. We brew three times a week. 2 5-barrel batches, 1 10-barrel batch is our brewing schedule. So we sell about half of what we make there at the brew pub. I guess we've been brewing since January of this year, so we're only 6 months into it. We've made about 35 to 40 different styles of beer since we've been, out of...
So you're experimenting. You're trying out different things.
Yeah, we are. We like a lot of different styles of beer, and that's what we want to have our customers who come into the brew pub appreciate, is all the world of beer that is out there, and then what I know of different styles, different smoke beers, English beers, Belgian style beers.
Maybe we should go there tonight.
Yeah,
have one of the Frisbee chicken schnitzels and. Some other stuff. So what do you have on draft right now, Eric? And how many taps do you have?
What do we have? Let's see. We have 9 of our beer, and then I think we have 6 outside of that. 7? 16 total. So 9 of the beers are ours that we're brewing in the back, and the other 7 are what Ed brings in. So it's German beer that he's importing. So right now, we've got an American Pale. We've got a double IPA brewed with Tupelo honey. We've got this sour that you're having, or this kettle sour that you're having. We have a triple, or Belgian strong pale. We have
All About Wit.
Got a wit beer, yeah.
We've got a Grisette.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you made a Grisette.
Grisette.
Have you had the Sly Fox Grisette before?
I have, yeah. I like that one.
So what is that style?
It's like a small saison. Yeah, it's the miner's beer. It's instead of the farmer's saison, which was meant to be enjoyed by the farmers after a long season in the fields. This is the miner's beer. They'd be greeted with a Grisette as they come out of the mines.
And they get lung cancer.
Yeah.
Keeps them going.
Yeah, you
right?
Got to drink.
You got to keep them going before they die early.
We've also got an ESB.
Cheers to all the workers and all the worker beer. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, cheers.
There's so many great varieties of beer for workers.
Cheers.
This is like a worker beer. You guys toil there making beer in the backyard in Greenpoint. And I bet you guys cook outdoors, right? You probably don't even have a roof over your heads.
we do cook outdoors,
You guys are awesome. I got to come over there and visit. You know, my buddy Ray Payne just walked in. We're going to be talking to him a little bit. But Ray's part of the Coney Island on Tap Festival. Welcome to the show, Ray.
How are you, Jimmy?
Yeah, we're looking forward to talking to you and AJ in a little bit. What did you think of this beer? Did you get some of the...
Fantastic. I think it's a great summer beer. Certainly at the barbecue. I'm going to head over there and check it out.
Yeah. Maybe we'll go over there to Dirk the Norseman after the show tonight.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We'll throw you in the back of the truck.
All right. I need a ride. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about July Good Beer Month and Coney Island on Tap on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This one is called Our Ways by Sleepies. This is Beer Sessions Radio on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni, Jimmy's number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. We're in the backyard of Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we're doing a membership drive. You should check out heritageradionetwork.org. There's so many great shows, including ours, Beer Sessions Radio, celebrating 4.5 years. And July Good Beer Month is coming up. It'll be the 6th July Good Beer Month. We work closely with Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan, Heritage Radio Network, WNYC, and some other great groups all these years. And one of our newest partners is the Coney Island on Tap event. It's going to be a great beer festival in Coney Island at the Brooklyn Cyclone Stadium. Ray Payne and A.J. Bowden are on the line. Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for calling in, A.J.
Hey, my pleasure, Jimmy. Good to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jimmy.
So tell us a little bit about the Coney Island on Tap event. It's new for me, and we need like a good quality beer event in July. So we're glad you guys are doing something.
Absolutely, yeah, we're excited. We're going to bring in we run a series of beer festivals throughout the country, and we're going to be bringing what we do to Coney Island to MCU Park. We've got about 60 breweries lined up, all American craft breweries. So we'll have over 100 beers to choose from. We always like to pride ourselves on giving the attendees the opportunity to try something they've never had before. So we can assure you that we're going to have a mixture of some rare beers, some one-offs. We're hoping to get some Firkins there, and then also just some more of the flagship stuff for those that are looking to step into craft beer for the first time. So really psyched to be bringing people a great selection of craft beer in an iconic setting down in Coney Island, and hopefully on a beautiful July day. Really excited about it. Tickets are selling really fast, so
I'll tell you, that's a pretty awesome location. I call it the Brooklyn Cyclones Park at Coney Island. How did you guys get involved with Coney Island? Because it is an iconic New York City location.
Yeah, well, Ray is a Brooklyn native. He lives down there, and he's developed a great relationship with the people at the Cyclones. And you know, they're always interested in welcoming new events and things that aren't necessarily baseball to their venue. And then we felt like, what better place than you know, in this cool ballpark right on the boardwalk in Coney Island. So Ray's the one who kind of brought it up to me, and once I went down and visited it, I fell in love with it. So I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
What do you think is some of the best beers that you're going to have at the festival that our listeners might look forward to?
Gosh, I mean, we've got such a great list right now of breweries that, you know, I'm really excited to see what the local breweries down in the New York area are going to be bringing. Some of these guys, we're still waiting to hear specifically what actual brews they're bringing. But I mean, obviously Brooklyn is going to step up and they're going to bring some of their great stuff. And, you know, some of the other folks from down in the, you know, in the five boroughs. Then we're bringing in some folks from outside the area as well. Peak Organic out of Maine. We've obviously are going to have some of your West Coast brews with Lagunitas, in the mix and some other exciting ones, Stone and those guys. So, you know, what I'm hoping that we'll see is given that it's July, is that we're going to see some of the beers that people can plan on drinking throughout the summer. But I'm expecting some of these folks to bring in some of their unique brews as well.
I'm looking at the list of breweries right now, AJ. I see some of my favorites, like there's Bronx Brewery, which always has some great stuff in summer. Six Point, Three Heads, which I've had from upstate, Southern Tier, which we don't see as much in New York City as we should, because it's way up by Buffalo, but they make some great beers. Peekskill, a few weeks ago in the New York Times, Eric Asimov wrote about their Simple Sour, which is a super refreshing Berliner Weiss style. Heavy Seas, Flying Dog, Schlafly from St. Louis. We had Schlafly guys on air last year, so that's a pretty good lineup. And Keegan, Tommy Keegan up in Kingston.
Keegan, Kelso. Yeah, we're bringing an Oma Gang, bringing in, you know, we're doing a few select ciders, you know, Original Sin. Wanted to kind of put a New York spin, but also, you know, with Sandy coming through Coney Island, they got devastated. Again, as AJ had said, you know, I'm a Brooklyn native, born and raised. So we just thought, what a great venue. And then also kind of bringing in some of those New York, some of the guys like Queens, Sugar Hill, you know, one of the contract guys up in Harlem. You know, given the opportunity for some of the smaller guys to come in and kind of represent and again, as AJ said, you know, share some of their small batch stuff as well.
Well, I'm glad you guys are doing it in New York City. And I would say that the city and the breweries really rallied after Sandy. You know, Six Point, their brewery in Red Hook got shut down a little bit. They've come back. They're doing a lot of festivals in Red Hook. Barrier, who are up by Long Beach, they were shut down for months, and the whole Long Island beer community,
yeah, Fire Island,
rallied around them.
And
yep.
Then even upstate, you know, bringing in Ithaca. You know, so we got a great, as AJ, a great selection. You know, it's a fantastic venue. It's an open air venue, right on the Coney Island boardwalk. It's iconic. So it's just a great time. Also, you know, it fits well with July Good Beer Month. We're the only signature event in July, beer festival. So we're excited to be in New York.
Yeah, we're always looking for some good fests to get behind, because, you know, there haven't been too many in New York City that really work, that have the right, you know, identity, and you guys really know how to talk to the beer community. You guys, Eric and Chris, who are here also from Dirk the Norseman and Greenpoint, what do you guys think about big beer festivals? You know, you guys are very small breweries. So I'm sure you don't have enough beer, but would you go to a beer festival in Coney Island?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'd be into it. I think beer festivals are a great way to showcase the range of craft beer. You know, a lot of different. Usually at beer festivals, brewers try to make their best beer. You know, they want to showcase their best beers and have the public really be impressed by what they're making. So I feel like it's a great way to really educate the consumer about what is craft beer and what is, you know, going on in the craft beer community.
Yeah, I think the MCU Park is a great space too. Again, it's an open air. Gives the opportunity, like, you know, some of the smaller guys to interact with, you know, attendees. It's not in a traditional venue where you're in a convention space where it's, you know, wall-to-wall people. We're spreading it out in the open deck. It gives the ability of attendees kind of move around, great selection of food, bring in some Brooklyn-centric, you know, food vendors as well. Trying to keep it local, trying to keep it intimate, and trying to make it a great experience you know, for attendees to sample some great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Eric, what about you? I mean, you've been running Browery Lane, and now you're running Dirk the Norseman. Do you get a chance to go to some beer festivals?
I haven't been in, I would say, maybe a few years. But I, early on when I was first getting into craft beer, I did go to a lot. And I think they're a great place to go to gain exposure, really, to see what's out there. Because, you know, if you just go to your local bar or something, you're not exposed to a lot of really interesting beers and local beers. So it's a great place to go and just try tons and tons of beer that you may not, you know, normally drink.
Yeah, I mean, each summer we've been going up to Cooperstown, to Belgian Comes to Cooperstown, the Omegang Fest. That's a great fest. And there's a couple of festivals upstate. There's a Saratoga Beer Fest. Or?
Yeah, I think AJ can talk more about some of the, you know, the additional events that we do outside of the you know, immediate New York City area.
Yeah, I mean, we run we run over 40 festivals a year in throughout, obviously, New York, and then into New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, as far west as Boise, Idaho, Colorado, all throughout the northern Midwest as well. So what we've been able to do is reach out to the relationships that we have in the beer community to let these guys know, hey, we're going to bring what we do to Coney Island. It helps us to get the breweries behind it. We're also building those relationships with the local guys down there. We also are bridging ourselves out there to develop relationships with the Coney Island community. We've really seen a great response from them. We're seeing a lot of people from Coney Island buying tickets, a lot of people from Brooklyn buying tickets right now, to the point where we're actually considering adding another session to this event because tickets are selling so fast, and we have the ability to try and give more people the opportunity to be there. But we'll do festivals all over the country. So we feel like what we do, we do it well, and we keep it about the beer and about using a cool location, cool venue like MCU Park. So we're really fired up about it, and really appreciate you guys getting behind it, and hope to see a lot of your listeners out there.
Yeah. Also at the festival, we have a rooftop deck, which is kind of great opportunity for the small batch guys. It's going to be all, you know, special brews, you know, signature select stuff that they're testing, trying, you know, that's not out there and available to the marketplace. You know, that's limited to 125 VIP tickets. It's a great opportunity to, you know, the rooftop deck overlooking the entire Coney Island boardwalk, select brews, select food. You know, and again, the ticket price at $40.
Maybe you guys want to do some ticket giveaways.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. We'll work with you, Jimmy, to do that, and maybe you know, the next couple of sessions.
I bet some of these brewers would like to. I'll tell you. Let me. I'm going through the list of the brewers, and I'm thinking of some of the guys that we know, some of the brewers that we've interviewed. And I'm looking at Keegan, and this guy, Tommy Keegan. If you guys never met him, he's great. He's like what represents New York beer to me, and it's great that you have Keegan's on your list, because Tommy Keegan, he went to UC Davis. So, you know, there's not too many brewers that have done that who've been open so long. So he's one of the old school guys that started out with a great program. And he's like very quietly, you know, been making beer for a while up there in Kingston. I don't know if you, you're getting Tommy down.
Yeah, I think he is. His first one was in 2003, the Mother's Milk at the Mountain. And I think it took top prize, if I remember.
He's great. So you really have a great lineup of brewers.
He comes to we run Saratoga Beer Week up in Saratoga Springs, New York, 5-day long craft beer focused series of events, and Tommy comes up to that, and as well as a lot of the other New York State breweries and such. So whether it be guys from the Hudson Valley, whether it be our friend Chris up in Lake Placid, the Map Boys at Saranac, all New York State has a tremendous fraternity of brewers and beer professionals, and we're excited about there being more and more every day. We all know that. We get, you know, people updating us every day, right, that there's a new brewery opening up, and it's exciting, because the thing that's exciting about craft beer is that there's room for everybody. Everybody has the opportunity to create their own product, create their own legacy, and we see it as our privilege to be able to go out and spread that word to the mass public to hopefully create the demand that guys like those in your studio are going to be able to sell some more beer.
That's awesome. AJ, thanks for calling in. Everybody check out Coney Island on tap. It's July 12th in Coney Island, Brooklyn. It's going to be a great beer festival. And guys, Chris and Eric, what's the last beer you just poured us?
This is a Saison.
Saison?
Yeah.
It doesn't have a name?
It does not yet, no.
It's just called Saison.
It's a big Saison.
It's not like my brother's miner's Saison.
Not yet, no.
You guys are awesome.
This
All right,
is brand
guys.
New.
You guys, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're just talking with Ray and AJ from Coney Island on Tap. Ray's still in the booth with us. So, Ray, you have a great idea. So you're bringing in some new small breweries to the VIP section at Coney Island on Tap?
Yeah, we're always looking for some great, again, the small batch stuff. This stuff is great that we're tasting here today. Even taking it a couple of sixths and having you guys on the VIP deck.
Yeah.
Great to have you guys.
Great.
So we got Chris and Eric from Dirk the Norseman and Greenpoint Beer and Ale, one of the newer breweries in Brooklyn. So, guys, tell me about – so this is a Saison we're drinking now.
It is.
Tell me a little bit about the beer, Chris.
It's a big Saison. It's 7.8%.
It's almost spicy.
Yeah. The yeast character is certainly spicy. It's got a little bit of Munich malt, mostly continental Pilsner malt, and traditional German hops, that sort of help out the spicy, fruity character of the yeast finish dry and easy. It is a big beer. It drinks easy, refreshing, spicy, fruity.
So when you make a beer like this, because we've had different kinds of Saison, I know Barry makes one called the Cycle Saison that's like only 4.5%, and there's a range of strengths and flavors,
sure.
Which is kind of cool about Saisons, right? There's really not one style.
It is a loose, the Saisons and farmhouse beers, they are sort of a loose category if you were to try to pin them into a category. So you do get a lot of different ABV ranges. Our sort of low-end Saison is the Grisette. It is a Belgian yeast. It does. Saisons, you can really play around with a lot of different malts, grains. We do one with buckwheat, spelt, rye, wheat, barley, and
oats. I think is the other one.
One more. It's our multi-grain Saison. We use a local maltster up in Massachusetts, Valley Malt, for those grains. Most of the grains are grown in New York State. So Saisons, they do range. They're typically stored through the summer, and like I said before, they're brought out during the harvest to enjoy. But we don't really do that.
No, you get two totally different styles. You have the kettle sour, and now this kind of spicy Saison.
Yeah. These are our summer beers. And I think our kettle sour lemongrass beer is sort of meant for summer beer festivals, summer activities where it's hot outside. It's like a light, crisp, refreshing, tart, dry beer that you can go. You don't have to think about it when you're sweating outside. It goes down easy. It's refreshing. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you, Ray. So with all the beer festivals you work on, I mean, do you drink a lot of beer?
That's kind of funny. It's as we talked about before the show. We're too busy during the show, lugging kegs and ice and setting up and breaking down. But once we're done, it gives us an opportunity to sit down with guys like these guys and, really get to understand and meet the brewers. And I think, again, Coney Island on Tap is a great opportunity to do that in a very intimate environment. ask questions, taste, sample. It's a 5-ounce sampling, you know, pour. Ask those great questions. What does it pair with? What is it, you know, what should I be drinking it with? So it's a great opportunity, you know, for that.
It's fun. It's fun working outside too in the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice fit. It's a great fit.
I took the A train the other day with my family. We went out to Rockaways, went to 67th Street, 59th Street, and there's nothing like it. You're in New York City, you can just jump on the subway and go out to places like Coney Island. It's amazing.
Yeah,
and drink beer, which is cool. So we got some call-in questions here, email questions. So this is for Dirk the Norseman. If he's still alive, the other was there really a Dirk the Norseman?
We channel Dirk the Norseman.
All right, so you're Dirk. I think that Ed Raven is Dirk the Norseman. Okay, so many new breweries in New York City. Ideally, what local brewery would you like to collaborate with, Chris? Good question.
I would say, you know, collaborations are funny. I feel like we could probably collaborate with all of them, but it's. Am I picking a brewery that I like? Is that the question?
I would think, you know, pick one or two breweries you'd like to collaborate with.
I would say,
how about that?
Finback Brewery. I would collaborate with those guys. I'd collaborate with all of them, really. I mean, there's a lot.
Finback's great. They got a great brewery out in Glendale, Queens.
Yeah, we know a lot of the breweries that are opening up. We know a lot of the guys. Other half, Transmitter, you know, it's Big Alice. You know, there's a lot of breweries that we'd like to collaborate with. I mean, it's a great community to be in because you do visit and you bounce ideas off of one another. And it is, you know, you grow your craft is what it is.
Well, talk about collaboration. Have you made beer with Chris Kuzme at 508 Gastro Brewery?
I haven't. No, Chris Kuzme is certainly somebody I'd like to collaborate with, yeah.
But he's doing a great job. I think he's regularly collaborating. I think at least once a week he's doing a collaboration brew.
Brunity.
Yeah, he's really been the drive. He's a good friend of mine, too. But he also has the show, the Ferment About It show, with Mary. Yeah. But he's been a great driving force.
No, I love Chris. He's got so much energy, and he's so focused on like the community of craft beer and growing that.
Ray, do you guys have any collaboration beers at the festivals?
You know, collaboration happens all the time, Jimmy. I think, you know, doing an event like Coney Island on Tap gives the opportunity for some of the smaller craft guys where, you know, you guys are so focused on, you know, brewing, building your brand, that they get to see each other at these type of events, and then they start talking as well.
Yeah.
You know, wrap-up events, after parties, you know, gives them an opportunity to do that as well.
That's great. All right, another question. This is from @FancyPantsBoozer. I don't know if that's a real Twitter account or not, but okay, this is probably for Eric. Browery Lane is it Browery or Browerige?
It's Browery.
Browery Lane has a great beer selection. How has working at Browery Lane influenced what you're doing at Dirk the Norseman? It's a good question.
Yeah,
not
that's
a bad one.
That's a good question. I would say getting to see what a lot of, American and European craft breweries are doing now, what's being pushed, what's becoming popular, where I guess the direction of craft beer is moving, new flavors, new styles, or even bringing back traditional, nearly dead styles. I think that's sort of inspires Chris and I in what we're brewing, and it's nice to see, you know, what people respond to, because working at a beer shop, you get to see the immediate reaction of somebody sampling a beer at the tap and how they feel about it. So, yeah, I would say that with all these new breweries and, you know, styles being pushed in different directions, it really sort of inspires us. We're exposed to a lot there, or I'm exposed to a lot at the beer store anyway, and it's nice to use that experience sort of to...
And you see what customers
doing.
Like. And
exactly.
Do you
yeah.
think that they're... I would think that if you're making so many different styles of beer, that as a customer, I'd want to go in and try something different every week.
Yeah.
Which seems to be what happens to a lot of good beer sealed bars. And mm-hmm. I know at Jimmy's number 43, we're changing beers every day. So that's what I want. I always want to try new beers. Mm-hmm. And how can you not with so many great new breweries,
true.
You know? Come on. And then here's another one. This is from @TheQuietCar. I know her. She's an awesome customer. But she says, I hang out in Greenpoint a lot and visit all the new pubs. other than the fact that you're a brew pub, what makes you different? That's a tough question. It's tough questions from our listeners.
Well, I think Gary just posted it. We're brewing a lot of different styles of beer. I mean, we're making a lot of different stuff. You know, you're going to come to our place and you're going to see a different beer probably, you know, within the next 2 or 3 days that you come there. So it's the taps change. They rotate often with our stuff that we make. And you can talk to the brewer. We'll be there. You can come see the brewery in the back. I mean, that's what makes it special is it's the community atmosphere. Plus, you can see us making beer. And if you want to learn about beer or take it to wherever you want to take it, like, we're there to talk to you. I mean, it's you can ask us questions directly. Yeah.
Chris, what are some styles of beer that you haven't made that you'd like to make in the next year or so? You probably made all. Have you made all the styles?
I've got a list, but it's
35 or 40 beers.
Well, I would say what we're going to make soon. We're going to make a dry Irish stout, probably with anise. We're going to spice it a little bit, just a touch. What else do we have coming up? Can you recall anything? We've got a list of stuff.
Session Black IPA, I think, will be this week.
Yeah, Session Black IPA.
Yeah. Another different version of the Grissette, I think, tomorrow morning will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, there. I mean, I guess definitely Brett Beer's barrel-aged stuff is where I like to go. We have a barrel, I guess you could say a barrel program started. We have some Brett beers going. The multi-grain Saison is with... You know, we have different Brett strains going with that. And we also have an English Old Ale with a Brett strain that was isolated from the Clessinny strain. It's the English isolation. But, yeah, we're doing a lot of different stuff with barrels. That's where I want to go next is sort of like barrel-aging beers with wild yeast. And cultivating wild yeast is certainly something I'm interested in that I like to do.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Hey, Chris... you know, since you started more as a home brewer, and Eric, do you brew too? So you guys all kind of brew together?
Well, I don't brew right now as a home brewer. I did for a bunch of years, but now I think all of our time is spent brewing five barrels at a time. So,
so when you're making a new batch of beer, a new recipe, what do you use as a reference? Is there a certain book that you look to or a website? We just kind of make it up as you go now.
You know, there's a lot of books. You know, there's the Farmhouse Ales by Phil Markowski influenced the Saison that we're drinking. Brewing Classic Styles by Jamil Zainashef and John Palmer. I reference to a lot.
I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, complete Joy of Home Brewing. You know, it's. Is where I started with Charlie Papazian, and then, you know, Radical Brewing is one. I mean, there's a lot of different references out there. There's a lot of forums you can go on the internet. You know, there's homebrew clubs. That's, you know, we started our homebrew club that meets at the beer store, and you talk to a lot of people that make beer at home, and they have a lot of different ideas, and you try a lot of different beers, and you experiment, and, you know, quite often something good comes out of it and you learn from the community experience is what I've really appreciated about New York. I mean, moving here about 5.5 years ago is the community experience and the knowledge and the drive to like appreciate good beer and making something, crafting something is what's special about this city. It's you know, it's something that, you know, we can all appreciate, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Ray, anything you want to say about Coney Island on Tap or the New York City beer scene before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think, you know, having guys like, the, you know, Brewery Lane and Dirk the Norseman, these guys, you know, you find some of the other festivals out there that just, you know, list breweries, get them in, get them out. What we do is if you look at our brewery list, we're giving you, you know, information on the brewery, background, where they come from, what's their kind of, you know, their specialty. And we find that the attendees that come to, you know, events like Coney Island on Tap or events that we do, know, they're seeking out, they're doing that research because there's so many, you know, craft explosion. There's so many people looking for, you know, unique styles of beer. So they'll check that out. And then they actually, you know, at the event will seek out those types of beers that they're looking for. So it's a win-win for the craft brewers. It's a win-win for us. You know, working with guys like beermenus.com, where we're pushing out what is the menu going to be, putting out our beers prior to the event, you know, working closely with the distributors to do that so that people come in, they know exactly what beers are going to be at the event, what styles of beers, where they're located. So it's an experiential, you know, thing for them that's a win-win. It's a win for the brewers. It's a win for us. And to be honest, it's a lot of fun. You know, Coney Island is a great venue, and we're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to, you know, showcasing guys, you know, like Brewery Lane.
All right, man. Well, Ray, thanks for coming on. Eric, anything else you want to say about Dirk the Norseman? You got any special events coming up?
No, just come by. I mean, like Chris said, we're constantly rotating. So every week we seem to brew two or three new beers, so they're constantly changing.
I think about 3 weeks we've got a Gradiski coming out, which is a Polish style. It's the big Polish community in Greenpoint, and we wanted to celebrate that with an old Polish style of beer. Jimmy, when are you going to open up a brewery?
I think I'm going to come and drink at yours. I'm going to give one shout out to our friend Christina Izzo at Timeout. Reviewed Dirk the Norseman, but she also reviewed the food, and this is what got me going. It said, "You can try the braised pig knuckles collapsing off the bone at the hint of a fork prong. If this is the new age of beer bars, we owe that Norseman a stein in thanks." Let's raise our glasses to Dirk the Norseman. Thanks for being a real historical person, I'm sure, right? All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming out. This is Beer Sessions Radio. It's so great. We're talking about Coney Island on tap on July 12th. And stay tuned. Check out goodbrewseal.com. This week, we're putting out everything about July Good Beer Month. There's so many cool events. July 22nd, on air, we're going to do a Queens versus Brooklyn beer competition with the editors of Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan. A lot of great things coming up, including our annual craft beer jam on WNYC with all your favorite brewers from the region, from Mark Buford at Blue Point to Tommy Keegan. He's coming down. So just check it out, goodbrewseal.com. Coney Island on tap in July, Good Beer Month. It's happening very soon. So thanks, everyone. Eric, Chris, Ray, and AJ for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network.
I'm
Jimmy Carboni.
Thanks
to our producers, Maggie Side and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.